If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Book of Acts is after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. You know, remember when you first accepted Christ, we were so aware of what He had done in our lives, and we were so grateful. Maybe even afterwards, or maybe there was a time in your life that you had received healing from God. Or maybe you prayed really hard for that job that you maybe thought would never get. Or maybe you prayed for a child maybe that you thought you would never have. Our hearts just seemed to overflow during those times when we received those great blessings, and every day seemed like just a new adventure. But over time, it seemed like sometimes these miracles kind of become mundane. And the new car smell kind of wears off, so to speak. And the extraordinary seems to become just kind of everyday. And we lose sight of those blessings that God has provided in our life. Waylon Pendergrast, age 37, from Tampa, Florida, he committed a spur-of-the-moment robbery one night on his way home from a late-night drinking session. Very inebriated Mr. Pendergrast, he forced his way into a house through an open upstairs window. And what he did then is he filled his suitcase with cash and valuables before setting the living room on fire just to cover his tracks. And then he escaped through the back door and made his way home, and kind of chuckling and laughing all the way, thinking of the little thing that he just did. And only as he turned the corner onto his own street, he discovered that there were three fire engines outside of his house. And it was then, in his drunkenness, that he had in fact broke in, stole the items, and ignited his own property. And later on the news, he commented to the news, he says, "I had no idea that I just had so many valuable possessions." And while we may not do anything quite that stupid, at least nothing that makes the national newspapers, there are times when we, as children of God, as Christians, need to kind of stop and reflect and kind of come to the same conclusion that Mr. Pendergrast did. And that is, I had no idea I had so many valuable possessions. Anywhere from our family and our friends to the material comforts like electricity and running water. Hey, you go out with those, at least 2 to 4 hours, and you're thankful when you get it back on. I don't know if they've been doing some stuff out by the turnpike by our house, but they seem to think it's a good idea to turn off the electricity maybe once a week or so for about 4 hours, about 11:30 at night. And they think maybe no one will notice it. That is, if you don't have a CPAP machine to go to sleep with, and then you're just like, the electricity goes off and you're smothering. So you appreciate those things, even the small things like electricity, because when it comes back on, the AC comes back on. Those of you that have air conditioning, you're blessed to have that, especially during this time of year. And even running water, when your well goes out or your septic tank or your hot water heater goes out, it's just a blessing to have running water. So anyway, from our basic foods to those items, those are luxuries. And even other generations, they never dreamed of, like the computer that you speak on every day, that you carry in your pocket. They didn't even think about that. They had no idea about that right now. From the freedoms that we enjoy the jobs that we hold from day to day and the people that we're blessed with. We kind of take those for granted. And those are just the physical blessings that I've just mentioned. There's so much that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And I want to encourage you today to rediscover the miracles that you and I sometimes take for granted. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning with verse 13, it says, "And a voice came to him, 'Peter, get up, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common,'" or some translations say unholy, "'and unclean,'" or unholy, or holy. And verse 15, again a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider common or unholy. Again, what God has cleansed, no longer consider common or unholy. This is an amazing story here if you read it in the whole chapter of Acts 10. I shared this story in King's Kids about 2 months ago about the food, Simon Peter having a vision. And King's Kids, we talked about what's the weirdest food that you've ever eaten. I think one of them said swordfish or octopus or something like that. But it's an amazing story. And when he has his vision, Peter has his vision, he sees a table or sheets let down from heaven. And God says to kill whatever is on that table and eat of it. And of course, Simon Peter, he was on a dietary law. And the Jewish people had that where they couldn't eat certain foods and they can't eat certain foods. It was just kind of a dietary law. And all those foods that Peter saw in his vision, such as lobster and the birds of the air and reptiles and other animals, they were all on this table. And Peter said, Lord, I can't eat anything, or I can't eat something common. But the vision said, what God has cleansed, no longer consider common. And that's an interesting phrase in that verse. No longer consider it common or unholy. Because when God does something, don't make a fuss about it. Especially when God declares something unclean that has now been cleansed. And verse 13 is very interesting. Especially when it states to rise, kill, and eat. I mean, that almost seems like part of our American tradition. I mean, only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Or, you know, only in America people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and then a Diet Coke. It's just kind of odd. Several years ago, well, really 20 years ago, you think about it, there was a fad that came through a lot of the churches. Some of you may remember it, but in the early 1990s, this diet was concocted by Reverend George Malkmus that basically involved only eating things that could be found in the Garden of Eden, which was basically a vegetarian diet, eating lots of veggies and fruit. And it seemed like way back then, all the church ladies were on the Hallelujah diet, is what they called it. But, you know, they're always changing diets and names of them, right? But they were saying on this Hallelujah diet that was anything that you could peel and eat, like bananas and oranges and healthy things like that. And they said that there was a redneck, and when his pastor got up in his church and started talking about the whole church going on a Hallelujah diet and explaining to the congregation that they could only have what you could peel and eat, redneck stood up and he said, Pastor, he said, that's unbiblical. He says, because the Bible says to kill and eat. We had a point about that. We had a real strong point. I mean, sometimes do you wonder why God ever gave wings to a chicken? I mean, they can't fly. I mean, they can't float. The reason God gave wings to chickens, are for people. Matter of fact, if you look today, chicken wings are the most expensive part of a chicken. Chicken wings, if you go and have them done nowadays or buy them in the store, they cost as much as a whole chicken nowadays. It's interesting. But sometimes we can feel like a wing on a chicken. Don't think that you can do anything for the church. You can't sing or can't speak or just can't really do anything that's really significant, and you just wonder. But let me assure you today is what God, or what you think is small, God sees as just being colossal, as being big. And God is able to see the great in the small. And what God was trying to do here was expand Peter's faith through that vision. Because Peter only saw a small facet of it. The dietary laws, I'm a good Jew, I'm doing this and that. And God says it's much bigger than that. And Simon Peter's saying, but Lord, I've been obeying your laws. I've never eaten anything that's common. And the voice said, don't you call what I've cleansed just common. And what God was telling him was this. He says, I need you now to go to Cornelius' house. Yes, he's a Gentile. And I know that you don't associate with Gentiles. I even know, Peter, that you consider them unclean. But you know what? From this day forward, the gospel is going to be preached to those people that you think are unclean, that you think are common. And he says, if I call them clean, then don't you call them something that's just common. Whenever I do the miracle of salvation, it's not just for you special people to think that you're doing the right thing. In other words, he was saying, Peter, this is a plan that I've been working on and that you're now being part of, that I've been doing for over 4,000 years. The plan was there even when Noah floated out of the flood with his family. And God's saying that this is something he's been planning, and now Peter thinks that he's being honorable and obedient to God by saying, Lord, this is just common. But God has been waiting for this very moment when the gospel would be broken out from Jesus just preaching to the Jewish people. To now, under this new covenant of Christ, it's for all men, it's for all races, it's for people with all backgrounds. It's a gospel of whosoever may come. And I've been planning it, Peter, ever since the virgin birth. It wasn't just now God for men, or it's not just God with man. It is now God in man. Under my covenant. And the death and the burial and the resurrection of my son, don't just call common. Don't call the precious blood that was shed on the cross as just common. You've lost that wonder. You've lost that wonder, Peter, when you call something common. And never forget the miracle of salvation. And we need to be reminded as we sit here this morning, sometimes routinely, maybe even just robotically, that there's nothing common about this church. Nothing. It's a result of the miraculous power of God doing things that are even way, way beyond us. And we should not ever treat the gospel preached from the word or preached from the classes or preached from mouth to mouth as just something common. Church is not just common. Salvation isn't just common, and the joy and the faith that you and I have, that we receive and come and praise and sing worship songs and hear the word and listen to the word, it's not common. This life that we're living right now, not someday when things are just going to be right in your life, but I'm talking right now, you're living an uncommon, extraordinary life. And you don't need to act like it's just common. This is what God has done in your life. And when he does something, when he cleanses it, don't label it or don't treat it as it just being common. The story of Noah and the ark. Greatest part of that story isn't Noah building the boat and receiving the instructions and this and that, but rather it's the presence of the passengers inside of that boat. Because you have to understand this very fact. That somewhere way in the dark, deep, dark jungle, there's two lions, one male and one female. One lion turns to the other lion and indicates, follow me. I'm supposed to go in this direction. I don't know why. I don't know why, but they were being drawn to the ark. There's two monkeys swinging from a tree to tree, one male, one female. And the male indicates to follow me. We've never been to that group of trees over there, but I just feel compelled that we need to go and hop around and just kind of, I feel this urge, this following to go in that direction. I feel compelled to go. I can see two giraffes with their high heads up high over the treetops, looking around in their higher view of over all the land, and one indicates to the other one to go in a new direction. And that's the miracle of the story of the ark, is that how all of those passengers, how all of those animals, including two mosquitoes, two of them, why, Noah, why didn't you close that door? But two of them managed to make it on board. How did all of those animals get on the ark? Only one ark. And then there was only one way out of that storm. Because you understand that God led those animals out of their natural habitat, where they felt comfortable in, where they felt surrounded in on a day-to-day basis, into a place that they would be safe, and where they would become rescued, and where they would become saved from the oncoming events ahead. And that same God that led them out led you out. Led you, and he led me out of bondage, out of the darkness of our sin. Led us out of our past, and brought you and me to this place. This place here. We used to be comfortable where we were at, but now we're in a different place. It's a miracle that you have been forgiven. It's a miracle that you're saved. And don't ever treat it as it just being common, that you sitting in this church today is not a big deal, because it's a big deal. And it's not common. In other words, once you get saved, don't get over it. Because there's a lot of people that have gotten over it. We shouldn't be able to sit in our seats here at Prayer of Faith today and treat it as just another service. The miracle of salvation is in fact indeed a miracle, and we can't just get over it. It's too precious in our lives, and the price of it through that cross was just too costly. And it's a miracle of divine direction that God has led you here. And he's led me here. I didn't choose this place. But God chose me, and he chose you to come together. Kisha and I came here with some others, Jan and Jim and a few others who'd been cast out of a church over 26 years ago. And it was a miracle direction to break off from a faith that we all were very comfortable with and all were very secure with, to come here. And the same story goes for many of you here today as well. It's a miracle, whether you want to admit it or not, that God has divinely led you here to become part of this church family. And when Noah lowered the plank from that ark for all to come in, he didn't say, well, just choose which boat you want to get on, this one or that one. He said, this is it. This is the boat. You need to get on. If you don't get in this ark, if you don't get on this ark, then you're not getting out of this storm in this world safely. Because you have to understand this fact. There were still a lot of animals left in that jungle that didn't get on the ark when the floods came. But you're here today, and you're in church, and you're in the body of Christ. And if you've accepted Christ into your heart, you're saved and on your way to heaven. And what God has cleansed, do not call common. Amen? But our enthusiasm about it, it's our thanksgiving, it's our appreciation. All of those things should be uncommon, because we're a living miracle. And don't let God's greatest or the greatness in your life or the greatest blessings that he's given in your life just become common. Because for some of you today, it's a miracle that you're not dead. It's a miracle that some of you are even sober and have a Bible in your hand today. It's a miracle that some of you are married after the enemy, what he's done to either wipe your marriage out or bring to you a particular mate. It's a miracle. Miracle that some of you aren't in prison. But you've been set free through God's wonderful grace and mercy and are sitting here today. So don't let everybody or anybody tell you that it's just common. It's not common. And for that fact, I'm not going to give God just common praise, thinking, God, I'm just going to sing these songs and make you happy. You have to lift it up from your heart. If you're living an uncommon life, then you should be giving him some uncommon praise and to give God the glory. It's a miracle that we're blessed. It's a miracle that I've been healed for certain things in my life. I was born with club feet. I shouldn't be up here with crutches, but God had healed me when I was an infant. It's a miracle we're blessed that I'm healed. And we should never lose the wonder of it all whenever God does something that fantastic in our lives. Some of you are sitting here today with, maybe you have children when the doctor said you couldn't have any children. Maybe he didn't give them the way that you thought you could, but you have children. And if you're not careful, that miracle, that little bitty miracle that you have, will become common. And years later, you'll forget that he gave you a miracle. God gave us a church here today where we all feel welcome. We all feel loved. At least that's what some of you tell me. That's not common. Some of you, as a matter of fact, said, this is an uncommon church. I don't get it. But it's the way, it's what it is. God gave us a church like that. Because we all have the capability here to tell the world about Christ. We have our website. We have our social media that we're part of. And even more importantly, what we have is you. Yeah, you. Many of you here have brought your family. Many of you here have brought your friends to worship here. And we're blessed for that. That's not common. That's uncommon. Has God answered any prayers for any of you all? Any prayers? Have you forgotten about them? Don't call it common. Don't call it, well, it's the thing that God does when I come to church. He smiles on me and then he answers my prayers. It's not common. It's uncommon. We have miracles. You know, there was these two boys one time, and they were spending the night at their grandparents' house and at bedtime, and they were both kneeling beside their beds to say their prayers, and the youngest brother is praying at the top of his lungs, Lord, I need a new TV. I need a new bicycle. I need a new Nintendo. I need a new VCR. This is an older prayer. But his brother leaned over to him, and his younger brother, and he said, why are you shouting your prayers like that? He said, God's not deaf. And little brother looked at his brother and he said, yeah, but grandma is. So she has to hear that. And oftentimes when we pray, we sometimes wonder if God's deaf because he didn't answer the prayer in the way that we desired to have it done. You look back and some of you have a good job. But when God found you, you were broker than the Ten Commandments. You didn't have anything. But God's blessed you. And now you have things in your life that you didn't used to have. Maybe you have a car, maybe you have a truck, or maybe you have a house now that you didn't have. But let me tell you, that car should never be just common. I don't care if it's an old jalopy. I don't care if it squeaks when you turn into a parking lot and makes everybody turn their heads. Let me tell you something, it's better than having to hitch a ride. That home that you're living in, these clothes that you're wearing, you should never look at those as just common things because God has blessed you and God has blessed me. And we're living an uncommon life because of His grace and His mercy upon us. It's always a joy when I'm up here to watch people out there who have just became saved or have just rededicated their life to Christ. I can almost tell most of the times we're just sitting because they're always just eating up the word with great anticipation. They're just kind of leaning in. And then, of course, there's some of you who have been around a while. And I kind of solemnly watch you nod off. But those who are genuinely born again or have let God control of their life now and rededicated it or asked Him into their life, they're eager, they're hungry, and they're thankful because they're uncommon. And they have an attitude in their lives like, you just don't understand what He's done with me. Or you just don't understand where I was at a year ago. Or you don't understand how messed up my life was and how hopeless my life was. So don't tell me just to give Him common praise. Because I know what He's done for me. And what I've been cleansed. And what God said that I've cleansed, don't ever call it just common. Some people are still walking around waiting to be cleansed. because they think the only cleansing needed was at the point of salvation when they asked Christ into their life. And it's the same principle for some people you may have encountered. If you haven't showered for quite some time, you kind of become accustomed to that stink, and it doesn't smell to you, but everybody else around you can tell, because you've started to think it's common for me to smell this way when it's not. But the continual key to keep your joy in your life as a follower of Christ is to receive salvation in your life through Jesus Christ and to never get over it. Because His first name is wonderful. And Isaiah said that in chapter 9, verse 6, that His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But if you ever lose that wonder, then you've lost the other stuff. Don't ever forget His first name. Don't ever lose the wonder. If you want to get back the glory of God in your life, then you're going to have to find that wonder again. When someone becomes baptized here at Prayer of Faith and they come out of the water, it's kind of traditional that whenever they do that, they come up out of the water and we all clap and we all hoot and holler and show them our enthusiasm and encouragement. But if we're not careful, just watching them can come out of the water, we can just become common and kind of lose that excitement and just kind of clap because it's tradition. Let me tell you something. In Luke chapter 15, verse 6, Jesus said that in the same way I tell you that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. It says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing whenever, every single time this happens. It never becomes just common to them. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, "And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness, but rather present your instruments to God as those alive from the dead, and your whole members as instruments of righteousness to God, as those who were alive from the dead." He's saying, I want you to worship like God has just risen you from the dead. I mean, sin is what you used to live in, but now as a Christian, we're dead to that. And the idea of entertaining, of wanting to sin more, that's not what we do whenever we're dead to sin. That's for people who live in sin. When you become a Christian, you receive the faith and forgiveness that God has offered to us, and we become connected. We become then connected to Jesus. And the baptism that we do here is now just a visible sign of what's happening. Because we were baptized into Christ, and now He becomes our representative. And His death becomes your death. And His victory becomes our victory. We're under new management now, and we have His priorities instead of ours. So we don't sit here like it's just common, but instead uncommon, because He raised us from the dead. We serve an uncommon God who has blessed you and me with an uncommon life, and therefore what we do is we give Him uncommon praise. We praise Him like He's just raised your family from the dead. Praise Him like He's just rose your child from the dead. You or somebody that you know may have been healed from a sickness 10 years ago. Maybe now it's to them just common. Oh, God did that a long time ago. Maybe you went through heart surgery and you didn't know when you were sitting there laying there in the ICU, you didn't know if you were going to make it or not. But now 5 years later has passed and here you are. Maybe it's just become common, resulting in just giving Him common praise. But you think about it, He's done uncommon things in your life. And He deserves uncommon praise for an uncommon life. So don't just have Sunday as usual with just another church service, because it's a miracle that you are and I are here on this very day worshiping and praising God. We are here under the divine, miraculous direction that God has brought us to. You and I, here today, to receive miracles of provision, miracles of God, reminding us that life continues with this God-given resiliency placed within us to survive. And we respect life and help others in the middle of an evil destruction in our life. And this unstoppable hope just oozes out from under the darkness in our lives, unable to be squashed, no matter what thing that you're going through. I was telling Jan in our prayer this morning, I love that song, Fear is a Liar. I didn't used to like it because I thought it glorified fear too much, but you listen to the words, and it'll cut to the core of your being about the very things that you go through. It says, fear is a liar. He will take your breath. He will stop you in your steps. He will rob your rest. He will steal your happiness. So cast your fear in the fire. Because fear, he is a liar. The truth is a miracle, and it's so important to us to recognize in our own time. It's not so much of Jesus, the drama of Jesus walking on the water that's to be remembered as much as it is Jesus bringing life out of death, and Jesus bringing hope and the promises that he gives us now, and the promises of life right now, and that life will continue even after death. We hang on to those words in Revelations chapter 21:4 that remind us that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be death no more. Neither shall there be mourning, neither shall there be crying, no pain in life, because the former things have passed away. And we don't need to be afraid anymore, because the Spirit of God resides in each one of us, ready to lead, ready to heal and perform in all, and to feed in all miraculous ways. But if we're not careful, those things can just become common. And that what the enemy does is deceptively through time can quench our excitement for him. And that's what happens. And whenever we go through obstacles and stuff, those are designed to draw you back to Jesus, to draw you, make you run to God, because he's the only one you have to run to. But by choosing an uncommon life, it's just not out of the ordinary. To remember that we're not just common folk. I mean, we are common folk, but we have an uncommon life. We're God's children. We're the King's kids. To live an uncommon life by believing that God's promises are true and learning to get to know him in a closer way. Because what happens then is the more that you know him, the closer that you get to him, the more that you learn to trust him and believe what he says. If you're not close to God, then you're certainly going to not trust his word or his promises. But the more you get closer to him, the more you understand to trust him. Because for without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why we should pray for more faith. It's not a bad thing to pray for more faith. I do it all the time. I need faith a lot of times. But by trusting him, and we're struggling to believe things sometimes and the promises that he has, just pray for more faith. It's an opportunity to please God whenever we go through challenges, whenever we choose to trust him during that time. What we have a tendency to do is put more faith in our obstacles than we do God's promises. Because our obstacles are right there before us. And we have to look past those to God's promises. Or to put even more faith in our limitations of what we're able to do than we put into God's unlimited capacity to intervene. Sometimes he'll come out of nowhere in the least way that you expected and intervene in a situation that you're doing. And it's like, God, I didn't okay for you to do it this way. I had a plan that this and this and this would happen, and you'd answer the prayer that way. What are you doing coming way out from over here and giving in? He loves to throw us off like that because he doesn't want to be put in a box. And whether or not you decide to believe that you have access to God's power, that works the same way in your faith and your salvation. Because the same power that Jesus raised up from the dead will determine just how uncommon that your life will be. If we're not careful, we can become like the lepers in Luke chapter 17. After God healed all of them, we can forget to turn back and to give Him the praise and the glory, because now it's just all common. Hey, I got my miracle. But one of them did turn back, and he said, you know, this isn't normal. This is uncommon. I've just been healed of leprosy. And I can't just act like it's common to go to the priest and to prove that I'm cleansed so I can go back into society. It's not just a common thing that happens. The others, they went along with their business, showed themselves to the priest, but yet one leper turned back to live an uncommon life. He was literally raised from the dead, and he got his family back. And we need to have that prayer in our hearts of, Lord, please help me to never, ever get over you. For what you've done for me, for my family, for our church. When nobody believed in you, when nobody believed in me, or when nobody gave you any hope, but God, He did, to raise us up. And here's what can make the lasting difference. It's the choice that we have in our life every day to give Him thanks. With a heart of thanksgiving, we realize that no matter what we face, that our God doesn't just work to change our situations to get our life back in the comfort zone and to help us through our problems. But He does more than that. What He does is He ends up changing our hearts through His power, through a heart of gratitude and through our minds focused on Him. And whenever this happens in our lives, what it does, it releases that grip that our struggles have over us. Like those lyrics I read to you earlier about fear. And we become strengthened by His peace that He gives us in our life. And we become refueled by the joy that He gives us. Because God's Word is filled with just many, many reminders of how powerful and how vital a thankful heart can be in this world. And the more that we praise Him, the more He will release to us and He'll strengthen us. You read the book of Psalms, it's filled with that. The psalmist wrote in 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Today, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of our iniquity, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with steadfast life and love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And then the prophet Isaiah assures us in Isaiah 41 that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We're not just common folk. We're uncommon people. We live an uncommon life. And when we do that, it gets our lives off, our eyes off of ourselves, and helps us to focus back on God and understand His cleansing us from just being common. To live an uncommon life reminds us that we're not in control, but we serve a mighty God, a mighty God. And it keeps us in a place of humility. It keeps us in a place of dependency on Him as we recognize just how much we need Him. By living an uncommon life, it helps us to recognize so much to be thankful for. Even the littlest of things that we tend to forget. And when we do that, what happens then is it gets our attention off of our problems and helps us to be able to reflect on and to remember the goodness of all His blessings that He has given us. And then things in our life are then not just a common thing that we tend to forget about sometimes or consider mundane, but rather we begin developing the fruit of an uncommon life. And it all begins with a seed that is sown in our hearts. Salvation that allows us to see Him in an uncommon way. And through living this uncommon life, we'll then be able to see the greatness of God in the small things around us. We'll be able to see the great and the small.
Can you see it? There's so much great found in the small. A full life of potential in a heartbeat. A massive tree in an acorn. Trillions of atoms in a speck of dust. So much said in a look. So much history in a scar. So much comfort in silence. The faith to move mountains in a seed. The greatest gift in pennies. A timeless sacrifice in a few breaths. The greatest of man in a servant. The universe is great in the small. Stars 1,000 times the size of Earth, just specks in the sky. Salvation in the simplest of prayers. The gift of eternity in an instant. Freedom from bondage in a choice. Fullness of life in the darkest of times. Power of resurrection in a word. The greatest significance in the smallest of steps. Can you see it? May we all come to see the great in the small.
Father, we thank you for your amazing work and power in our lives. And we thank you for the goodness and the blessings that you bestow upon us. Thank you for bringing us hope, even through the toughest times, and for strengthening us, Father, for your purpose. Thank you for your great love and your great care and the mercy and grace that you give us, that you're always with us, Father. You'll never leave us, and that's just proof of your incredible sacrifice through Jesus Christ. And if there is one here today that needs to have you in their hearts, Father, let them boldly ask their Jesus into their heart today to be cleansed, to be renewed, to be fulfilled in Christ. Father, if there are those who have wandered away from the faith or have taken you for granted, Father, let them be able to find the wonder in you again, so that we might have freedom and life and to know that we're not just common, but we're uncommon. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for making us all new within you. And forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, and for all that you've given us. Help us to set our eyes and help us to set our hearts on you, Father, and to learn to live an uncommon life for you, Christ. Renew our spirits and cleanse us and fill us in our lives full of peace and joy. And we love you and we need you now and every day. Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the thanks that you so deserve. For you alone are worthy. Father, you are the great and the small. We love you for that. Help us to never forget that. Help us to see others through your eyes and realize what you have cleansed is uncommon. It's holy now. And understand that. Not holding back anything in our hearts that may separate us from the miracles that you've performed in others' lives. Help us to see that. Help us to recognize that in our lives. Help us to retain and refine that wonder again about you, Father, that keeps us so fueled about your kingdom and about loving others and about having patience with others. Understanding that you're performing something in their life that may seem small, but really it's great. We love you, Father. And if any of you here need today prayer, Father, we'd ask that you would just give them the boldness to come and grab someone for prayer, for healing, for encouragement, Father. For this is your church. And you have brought us here under divine direction, not just to sit and look and hear, but as ministers of your gospel to one another. Ministers that one person here today can minister to another person in a way that none other can. But yet you have chosen them. Just like the animals of the ark were guided, you have guided them here today to receive your ministry. We are all tools of you, Father. This morning we ask for cleansing. We're all vessels. Cleanse us, Father, that your Spirit may be poured in us, so others may be able to drink from of your greatness and goodness and mercy. We love you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said, amen. God bless you all.